Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Thursday, October 5th, 2017. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Thank you very much for joining us. A little bit rainy. Very nice. Very nice, refreshing drive to work today. So hopefully your morning goes well. Got a lot of good stuff planned for you today on the show. Laura Sanko will be here solo. She will wax no one. Well, I shouldn't say that. Maybe she will. Who might
have said? Would you like to volunteer?
Well, I would not have a problem with it, but they're going to have to get some better wax.
Yeah.
If they're going to deal with me.
I agree.
We have to get a bigger boat. That would not be an enjoyable task for anyone to undertake. So, but I might be willing in the right situation. Also depends on what part of the body we're talking about. You know, we can get into that at a later date. But she'll be here to talk about UFC 216, which takes place on Saturday night. Of course, Laura, UFC reporter, get her thoughts on the pay-per-view card taking place on Saturday. You know, and it's always good to talk to Laura about really anything. We also could talk about the card that I ring announced that she provided color commentary for last weekend out in Independence at the Truman Event Center. So, and later on today, I'm excited, we're going to go talk to Harrison Butker out at Arrowhead Stadium. Buttkicker.com will be on the show tomorrow, and so we'll sit down with him for our weekly player interview, and hopefully that will be some fun. A lot of fun talking about a game-winning kick in his NFL debut for the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football. Can't ask for a more pressure-packed situation in the regular season than a kid stepping in his first game with all the pressure on him of an undefeated season on a Monday Night Football showcase, and he misses his first kick and then comes back and just nails the rest of the night, including the game-winning kick. And so we'll talk to Harrison Butker about his choice of Twitter handle, ButtKicker87, and his response, his reaction, when he found out that his head coach referred to him as ButtKicker.com.
Mm-hmm.
So, I like that. And so Laura will be here at around 6:30 or so. Jake Pounders, fill us in on the rest of today's proceedings, please.
Great show lined up for you all today.
Well, I would imagine so, considering you brushed your hair.
Yeah, that's right.
You can tell it's going to be a good show when he fixes his hair up, and there's no hat.
He's looking good today.
Right.
No hat.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Barnett will be joining us at 8:05.
Coach Barnett.
He'll be joining us at 8:05.
It's really been thrilling to talk about the local college football scene.
Uplifting.
Coach, yeah, I'm sure he can't get enough of it. He's going to dig in.
We want more.
Okay, you probably put a seatbelt on. It's such a wild ride when we talk about everything that's going on with, K-State's been okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but they've
that Vanderbilt loss, I think that's going to be a thorn in their side for a while because Vanderbilt appears to be no good.
And leading up to Gary Barnett, we'll have Jeff Pinner and his forecast for.
You sure about that?
Yep.
We haven't chased him off yet?
Not yet.
Seems like we're close.
We're working on it.
Right.
Progress.
Seems like we put some work into that one.
And then Nate did an interview with Ben A. Failhaber.
Ben A.
So that will be at 8:30. John Price will join us at 8:45. Will Carroll, injury expert, at 9:05.
Good Lord.
And we'll talk some high school football at 9:30. And in between all that, we'll have some Andy Reid sound.
We could talk to Will Carroll for an hour and a half about fantasy football injuries.
Yeah.
And then
piling up.
Piling
up.
That's not great. Well, I will say this. If you're a fantasy football geek and you're in a, I mean, it's one thing, obviously, if you're DraftKings, you can enjoy fantasy football and enjoy playing week to week and not worry about injuries because you just pick a new team every week. And that's the beauty of playing at DraftKings. Like, screw it, you know, just pick a new team every week and not have to worry about season-ending injuries. But if you're in a regular league, like we all are, we're all in, you know, and you have players, and maybe if you had Dalvin Cook and you saw that
in two leagues,
perhaps that still makes you sick of your stomach.
It sure does.
You're thinking, oh, look at this guy. Boy, oh boy, did I land a great pick. I'm the belle of the ball here. One of the best running backs. I nailed that pick. And then out for the year. Like, oh, no. Ready to hand out not only injury advice, but fantasy football advice? We'll ask him about that Minnesota Vikings backfield and who's the guy to grab and everything else. And also some several offensive line injuries to talk about. Will Carroll. With Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. Hopefully not going to be out long. Described as day-to-day with a knee sprain, but, you know, that could be anything. Who knows? That sucks. But hopefully Parker Anger's getting close to being 100%. Mitch Morse, we still don't know how long he's going to be out with his foot sprain as this offensive line depth is being tested early and often. You remember Eric Fisher was questionable with back spasms going into this thing, and he gutted through it, and thank goodness, because there's only so many backup offensive linemen to go around, and so I'm not sure they could take another loss on the offensive line. But I was impressed the way they came together, because early on, when we were sitting over there watching that game, it looked like they weren't going to be able to block anyone or do nothing. They were not able to protect Alex Smith early on. There was precious few lanes and holes for Kareem Hunt to run through. And I looked at both of you guys, when LDT, when they took him off the field and he couldn't put any pressure on his leg and he's, you know, limping off the field, I'm thinking, I mean, we're in trouble. And the way the Redskins front seven looked, I mean, it did not look promising. And you know, Morse is already out. And at one point, you know, you're talking about three backups compared to what you thought the Chiefs, you know, A group was going to be heading into the season. Mitch Morse at center, and I thought Parker Anger would be back by now, but he's not. But, you know, and Parker Anger and LDT at guard, and so at that point you had Zach Fulton in there, Jordan Devy was in there, and this Brian Wentzman, the dance champ. Also the holding champ, but I'm not going to say that. He played better.
He did.
And so if I'd have told you that, like at one point that's going to be your interior offensive line, like, oh, boy. And they came together. And I thought, and you know, Andy Reid talked about that too in his post-game press conference. They played much better in the second half. They started to come together at the end of the first half when the Chiefs were able to drive for that touchdown that ended with the Travis Kelce touchdown catch. And then they moved the ball. Unfortunately, that's when Butker missed that only kick that he missed right before halftime, but at least they were able to put some points on the board. And then, you know, into the third quarter, they dominated the time of possession, and they had started to figure things out in the second half or in the second quarter. And so even though you don't want to see the depth tested so much in a close game and a big game on Monday Night Football against a good defense, I thought, I was impressed with the way they came together and they were able to move the football. And you saw Kareem Hunt. It was the running game was better. Alex Smith was still running around back there trying to avoid the pass rush, but they made plays. They found a way to get it done, and so that gives me hope. And that I was impressed with the depth there of those guys stepping up and playing well enough to help beat the Redskins on Monday night.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think that Alex Smith's mobility helps a lot in that regard. But I'm with you. You know, and Andy Reid in this, you know, he's always appreciated offensive linemen that are versatile. They can play a lot of different positions. And
Zach Fulton.
Yeah. And I do worry a little bit. Zach Fulton's snaps right now are not the best. There was more than one time where Alex Smith was having to adjust himself to field the snap or flat out chase the snap down because it was poor.
And that can destroy the timing of a play.
Yep. Yeah, so that's a concern.
The rhythm of an offense.
Yeah, but overall, I mean, for them to overcome that against a good defensive team, and I believe, these teams that the Chiefs keep beating are winning games against everyone else they're playing, which is which says something about how they're doing in the competition level so far that they've put this record up against.
Well, the Chargers can't beat anyone, but I've been really impressed with the Redskins and the Eagles.
Yeah.
The Patriots, the Patriots are nowhere as good as we thought. At least their defense. Their offense looks terrific. Their defense is poo-poo. But you tell me if I'm right. I think based on what I've seen, the Eagles are going to win the East, NFC East. But, I mean, the Redskins look pretty damn good. Who do you think, what team were you more impressed with, the Eagles or the Redskins?
I think maybe the Redskins, but that's a tough one. I like.
That's why I asked you.
I think I'm more impressed with Kirk Cousins. Although I was impressed with both guys.
I think Wentz keeps getting better and better. I don't think we've seen the best.
I mean, even
by the end of the year, I'm not going to see his best because he's only in his second year. But I really like what I've seen out of Wentz, and I think maybe at the end of the year. He'll even be better than what we're seeing right now. I mean, every time I've watched him. Now, they've got some injuries that they're dealing with, obviously, but, I mean, I don't know. Jake?
I think the Redskins, for me...
Because of Kirk Cousins and your obsession with him?
I love him. But, no, I if Josh Morgan doesn't get hurt in that game, I don't know if the Chiefs win that game. That's where I felt the game kind of turned.
Josh Norman.
Right. Yeah, Josh Norman. When he went out, the game kind of, you turned to me and looked at me like, ooh, thumbs up. Like, that's going to be good for the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
They went right at him, too.
Right.
They put Kelsey on that spot on the field.
Oh, no. When they as soon as that update came through that he hurt his ribs and he was out for the game, like, okay.
Yeah. They needed that. But I feel like that was a big turning point for the Chiefs, and I don't know if that game ends up the way it was, unless that happens.
Like, for me, if you could pick one guy to remove from their defense
absolutely.
To help the Chiefs' chances, he would be
number one.
Number one draft choice.
Yeah.
And that's where they scored their touchdown after.
Right after that. So, for me, I think the Chiefs pretty much.
But the Eagles were, the Eagles were down their top corner coming in, remember?
Right. But I don't ever. There were times in that Redskins game where I was like, I don't know if the Chiefs are going to win this game. But in the Eagles, you're like, let's wait for it. And then, it eventually happened. I never felt that against Redskins in terms of I was like, whoa, they're in for a dogfight. And it was just a hard-hitting game. There was some popping going on. And
Josh Dotson comes up with that catch. Who knows what happens after
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Yeah. So for me, I feel like, and it's not by a very big margin, but I feel like the Redskins is a better football team.
No, I'm going to be interested to watch when those teams play, Wentz and Kirk Cousins, and to see, because I do like Jay Gruden as a coach, even though he was couldn't wait to throw Kirk Cousins under the bus right after the game. But, the jury is still out, especially here in Kansas City. I think maybe there's some surprise that the Eagles look as good under Doug Peterson. I don't know what you thought when the Eagles hired him, but
I didn't expect much.
Well, I like what I've seen so far.
Yeah.
So,
I would even say this though: like the Patriots, they're not playing great right now. They're 2-2, but that means they're 2-1 when they haven't played the Chiefs. And I know I don't have to tell you Tom Brady's stats. I mean, their defense.
They've had to, but you can. I mean,
my gosh. I mean,
but I just the only reason I say that is because now three teams. He put up unbelievable offensive numbers in New England.
Yeah. But the Chiefs actually were able to slow down Tom Brady a little bit, which is unbelievable. I mean, this guy,
he's still bad.
1,400 yards, 10 touchdowns, and no interceptions. Like, we keep going on about Alex Smith and how great he's been. It's like Tom Brady is playing just as well as he's ever played.
I believe for the third or fourth year in a row, We've had people, including people on this radio station, declare him done after watching him in a game. So, and once again, we decide that he's not.
Dude, his numbers are ridiculous.
You think he's done, Jake? When you watch him, does he think, done?
No.
Career over.
Sorry, I do not.
I was kind of stunned when I looked at his numbers the other day because I knew he was like playing well again, but I didn't realize he was playing far and away better than any quarterback in the
and
league.
He's had to.
Yep. Exactly. And he still lost two games.
Right.
I mean,
and then had to orchestrate a drive to win the game against the Texans.
Yeah. And by the way, the last time the Patriots got off to a 2-2 start, they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there
so
you
let's
go.
let's not freak out too much yet.
It'll be a big test for him on a short week
big
tonight.
Win tonight.
Yep.
Yeah. Big
taking
win tonight.
On the Bucs.
People think the Bucs are ready to take a big step forward this year. They should win that game if they're ready to do that.
Oh, I enjoyed watching Hard Knocks with Tampa Bay. This year. Did you watch much of it, either of you?
I didn't watch any of it.
Jake?
Not much.
It was,
I think I saw the second episode.
I mean, I think the Bucs have enough talent and have everything lined up to where they should be a playoff team this year. But Jameis Winston still has it, and that was a big part of the Hard Knocks, the coaching of Jameis Winston as Dirt Cutter, or just loses his mind sometimes, and it was in the preseason when Jameis Winston would just decide to throw a football into triple coverage or force something or take it. You know, he's falling down, getting sacked, just throw the football up in the air, and it's I mean, I like to watch those moments, those behind the scenes. You know how much they played up for Hard Knocks, but listening to him, Dirk Cutter, talk to Jameis Winston and try to convince him, look, you don't have to do that. All this talent around you. You don't have to take those chances anymore. You don't have to do that. Look at what you've got. You're going to kill us. And it's the evolution of him as a quarterback. But, I mean, between Evans and DeSean Jackson and, you know, they go out and draft O.J. Howard and put him with Cameron Brate. So two nice tight ends there. They've got a fairly deep backfield. They picked up T.J. Ward after the Broncos let him go. Gerald McCoy. I mean, they have a lot of talent on that team, so we'll see. And look, New England, they need to win. They need to put together some wins. Because right now, hey, we can start talking about it for if they do play in the playoffs, you know, and they're both, I don't know, division champs, 1-2 seeds, or however this thing shakes down. The Chiefs have a 2-game lead over them, but head-to-head. So it's like a 3-game lead right now.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that for a minute. Oh, boy. That's intoxicating. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Let me hear from Big Red, Andy Reid. He was getting pummeled with questions yesterday. How come he won't say that anymore? He only said it the one time.
Yeah, I want him drop that one again.
To tell people not to pummel him or if you pummel me or whatever. But Andy Reid began yesterday's press conference, giving us an injury update for your Chiefs.
All right, just as far as injuries go, Larry has a strained or sprained knee. It's day-to-day, and we'll just see how he does here. D. Ford is making progress, but will not practice today, and Mitch Morse, is again with the sprained foot, is making progress, but he won't practice it. Everybody else will be out here.
Mitch Moore's got that bad foot. So, get healthy, please. And I thank you. Hopefully, LDT. That did not look good when he was being helped off the field. I was very, very nervous.
He didn't put any weight on it when he was being helped off the field. That's always scary.
Well, we'll talk to Will Carroll, our injury expert in the 9 o'clock hour, about the knee injury to Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. Here is Andy Reid on the short week and how they're going to handle practice.
Today's practice is a little bit different. Coming off the Monday night game, we traditionally do more mental work than we do the physical work. So that's what we'll do today. And just get some things down as far as the game plan goes, and then kick it back up a notch tomorrow.
Here is There's Andy Reid on Marcus Peters, and of course, you have to clarify like exactly what he's talking about when dealing with Marcus Peters. This is apparently discussing Marcus Peters yelling at a fan. And we saw the clip yesterday. Was F-U-B or whatever. Some curse words at the... And I don't know if you guys have seen this. We also saw the Terrell Pryor had his issues walking off the field.
Terrell Pryor has now taken right. Instagram and claimed...
He said that fans were dropping the N-word at him, and a member of Chiefs security had to prevent him from going after the fan, and then he gave Chiefs fans the finger, and so that's a whole nother issue and controversy, because TMZ Sports had footage of Terrell Pryor delivering the bird to Chiefs fans, and so then he responded, as Nate said on Instagram, saying that Chiefs fans were shouting the N-word at him, and that's why he responded that way. And so that happened yesterday, and so apparently it was a bad night for player fan relations at an Arrowhead Stadium on Monday night. But here is what Andy Reid had to say about Marcus Peters, and this was before questions were asked. He makes an opening statement, and he wanted to let everyone know that this was his stance, and he wasn't going to say anything else.
I got asked about the Marcus situation. I'm sure I'll be asked about it today, so I'm going to answer it before you ask, and expect that I won't be asked, because this is the answer. So, obviously, yeah, I had a chance to see what took place, and we can't go in that direction. So it's been addressed. I love the compete in the kid, and I appreciate his work ethic and everything else. But as professionals, you know, that's not something that we want to take place.
Anything from you two?
I'm not as outraged as apparently a lot of people are. You shouldn't cuss at fans. You should probably just, your own fans particularly, you should just, you know.
Well, I saw some fans that deserved to be cussed at by anyone.
Oh, sure.
To be honest,
I'm not saying there aren't fans that deserve it.
There were some fans that I wanted to cuss at, but I didn't.
Yeah. But
I think I should have.
At the end of the day, I don't care that much about any of the things that Marcus Peters did.
There was a couple of times I was going to cuss at you at the game.
Well, you did via text message.
Way worse than anything Marcus Peters said. Yeah. When you were walking up the stairs, I wanted to yell some stuff at you, but
you just yelled them at me instead.
Yeah. Right. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I laughed.
Jake was cussing at a Redskins fan.
Right. Well, yeah. Thankfully, TMZ Sports was not in section 327.
Oh, it was lighthearted fun, right?
It kind of was.
For you. Right. I'm not sure that his reaction was
the same. He had to ask you at one point. He's like, hey, this is all fun and games, right?
Yeah, let me go ahead and,
yep, yeah, it is.
Sure it is.
Let me go ahead and tell you, I'm very thankful there was no video footage of anything that was going on in section 327.
Oh, man.
Well, I felt like that was quite an eye-opening experience for Phil, as he just sat and took it all in and watched.
I
and
made
just
people
chuckled.
Very uncomfortable. Well, and that's all right.
Is that, a shocker?
No, certainly not.
We didn't have any hot damn thrown on us this time. That was nice.
Well, because you're with me.
But I don't.
I don't get outraged by much.
I don't either. And I just go back to, man, this guy could help you win a Super Bowl, you know, and. Is he a headache for Andy Reid? Yeah. Does he rub people the wrong way sometimes? Does he turn some of his own fans against him sometimes? Yeah. At the end of the day, like, so what? You know, I mean, like, do you honestly think if the Chiefs keep winning football games, and he's out there, and he didn't have a great game the other day, but that's because, you know what, he's in man-to-man coverage a lot.
Right.
against the other team's best receiver. I'll go back to when I was covering KU. Aqib Talib gave up more touchdown passes than anybody because he was one-on-one coverage.
KU,
right. I did. I know. I don't ever bring it up. What?
When was this?
But I saw Aqib Talib give up more touchdown passes than anybody on the team, and that was because he was in one-on-one coverage against the other team's best receiver all the time. He won most of those battles, but you get beat sometimes. Anyways, the point is, this team keeps winning football games. They've got a number one corner in Marcus Peters. Unless he starts playing really poorly, I'm almost baffled that I hear people talking about how he should be benched.
You know what's funny? This just the world we live in, and so like everyone's different reactions, and so like his 47 seconds of heaven, all the quotes that we played over and over again.
Yeah.
And see, so here's my reaction. I laughed.
We all laughed, yeah.
I laughed a lot, and I like hearing it because it's funny. Because it's sports, and it's a guy that he knows what he's doing. He's jacking with the guy interviewing him. He knew him. He knows him. The guy interviewing him is not offended. That's just what it is. That's what you're going to get for Marcus Peters. And so some people are outraged by it. I thought it was funny, and then so it started to go viral yesterday. A bunch of different national sites, like Barstool Sports, Marcus Peters answering questions the way he's supposed to, because everyone else thought it was funny. And so then you look at the entire thread on Twitter, and I was reading them last night. This guy's now my favorite player. This guy's fantastic, and all these people from Oakland representing Oaktown.
I mean, we're talking about
maybe
a guy.
I'm wrong, but I thought it was funny.
Well, you asked me at the beginning of the year, you're going to get a jersey. Who are you going to get? Deuces, double deuces. That's my favorite player. I don't care. I don't care what he does on the field. It's good enough for me. And you know what? There's people who do a lot worse things than what he's doing. A lot worse.
Has he been arrested?
No.
Has he been accused of any crimes in
his
town
think so.
Since he's lived here?
Nope.
He's gotten one personal foul penalty for getting angry with a referee so far this year.
And that's the edge he plays on.
I mean, but he's gotten one, right? We're talking
one,
about one
in San Diego.
Okay, in four games.
Right.
What are we talking about here, man? You know, he does something that angers a lot of people before the game, but again, I'll remind everyone, it's a peaceful, nonviolent thing. You might find it extremely disrespectful.
And you're entitled to not agree with that.
You can do,
and everybody's entitled
to
disagree
like
with that.
It's like he's entitled to do what he wants.
Yeah.
You're entitled to react the way you want.
Yeah.
But I just hope that next week on Sunday night he's not hella weak.
Yeah, just
and
weak.
I hope he's not weak either. Yeah. I hope he's strong. I hope he's – you know, honestly, I was telling Phil said, so what do you think of this game? How are we going to stop Deshaun Watson? I said, well, Marcus Peters has to be hella strong. And he looked at me and goes, what are you talking about? I don't know. And he shook his head like, I don't understand my dad. And I said, Phil, few people do. Let's go get ice cream. That was after we all had our flu shot.
He understood that.
Right. After the entire family was downstairs having, we got our flu shot with Ty Lebo yesterday. It was a very enjoyable experience.
I mean, if the Chiefs keep winning these games.
No.
Are they going to really, like, are they going to struggle to sell tickets at Arrowhead Stadium because Marcus Peters is a polarizing figure? And by the way, post-game interviews are usually insufferable. Hey, man, you know, we're just focused on doing it the right way and one game at
Who's
a time.
Who's this supposed
and
to be?
Every player.
Wow.
You know, just, hey,
stereotype.
You know, credit to my offensive line and the coaches. For calling up the right plays.
Well, that sounds like you're a quarterback now. You just credit the offensive line. I don't know about that.
Credit to my quarterback for getting me the ball in the right places.
Oh, now you're a receiver.
Coaches dialing up the players.
Now you're a receiver.
Credit to our defensive line for getting a pass rush. That allowed me to, you know.
Then you feel me, kick back, chill, and relax.
I want to kick back, chill, and relax. That's what I like to do. So I'm like, yeah, I get it. Let's do it.
Are we outraged because you say he's going to get loaded on what is the players' Friday night?
I bet a lot of Chiefs fans were loaded when they heard that. And back after this on WHB.
Hell no, they wasn't attacking me. I killed my damn self.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Right now in studio we have Laura Sanko from You know what? From Lee Summit, that's what you rep first, but also from the UFC, you
repping hard.
You were serving as the color commentator on Saturday night out at KCFA 25, as I was the ring announcer for 13 fights at the Truman Memorial Building. And it was a great night because we had a giant raffle to raise money for the Casey Hope Lodge. And we gave away all kinds of great stuff, like 11 or 12 different items, and sold T-shirts with all the money going to Casey Hope Lodge. And you had a chance to call the fights. And that was fun because, again, for people that love either boxing or MMA, I always encourage people, go out to a local show so you can sit close to the cage. You could see people that are fighting because they love it and because that's their passion. And you will see some fighters that turn into to fighters that are good enough to take it to the next level. But that was fun on Saturday night.
That was a great night. You know, like you say, everybody's got to start somewhere, so you never know who you're watching there. It was those fights. I forget the difference between, you know, a UFC card and sitting there at a KCFA card.
Right.
And I love that level of fighting because no one's there to get a win. They're there to prove something to their family and their fans and the people, you know, all their friends that came there to watch them. So everybody puts their heart on the line. And we had a lot of quick finishes early, but then 13 fights, so that's a long night, Steve.
I kept looking over at you because early on, and see, and we can jinx it because we're all, you know, anyone that's working the fights, the crew, whether it be from corner people to people working up in the cage, the photographers. I mean, it takes a whole bunch of people to put on a fight like that, even when it's not on TV nationally. You know, they do a broadcast, they put it on YouTube, but a lot of people come together, the commission. And so we'll start early on. All of a sudden, you know, there was a 10 second stoppage. There's a 31 second stoppage on a first round.
Was the 10 second the submission?
Yeah,
because that was crazy. I've never seen a faster guillotine in my life.
So, you know, and guess what? I'm not the fastest moving guy out of the cage in and out. And so, you know, I always say something walking out of the cage. It's Saturday night and it's time to fight. Yeah, and I go down the stairs, sit down. I take a big drink of my Diet Coke, and then as soon, ding 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 ding, and I hadn't even looked up yet. I go, and the guy was tapping. I go, what?
We don't keep official stats at KCFA, but we went ahead and made that the fastest submission in KCFA history.
Right. And so I go back up, like this bout comes in at 10 seconds of the first round, and I didn't see it, but I assume it was one hell of a submission. But
sure was.
And then. Some of the fights went with the distance. We kind of settled in. But again, if you haven't come out to the fights, I encourage you to come out and enjoy yourself. It's a lot of fun. And my wife has developed into the person, like, you know, I always have an extra ticket or two. And she's always first in line. She goes, I want to go. Okay, all right. Damn the kids. And so so I think the next card will be December 2nd out at Truman Memorial Building. So put that on your calendar if you'll come out, and I'll be ring announcing once again. And so Laura is here. Usually she's here with James Krause. There's no James Krause. I just want to make sure. Did he really have something else that came up? Or are there still some perhaps tender feelings from the waxing that took place last week?
I think both might be a little bit true. He did have some business.
So he did have business.
He did have business to attend to this morning. Right. I don't know that anything involving me is much of a priority at the moment. I think there might be some tender feelings, mostly in his legs.
Did you get
in his loins?
So you promised
legs
that you promised that you would get him a professional waxing to finish the job.
Yeah,
because there was only part of his leg was waxed.
So much time
on the show yesterday, and so did that happen? Did you follow through with that?
It did.
Was he able to?
Yes, I made him an appointment at the salon that I go to. Very nice.
You followed through with your promise.
Spa,
right?
I paid for it. I sent him. He went,
and he did go.
He did go. He sent me videos.
Ooh.
His problem was that they only went maybe an inch or two above the knee so that it looked like he was wearing hair biker shorts.
Who doesn't like a good pair of hair shorts,
yeah, hair shorts,
by the way? Very comfortable.
So he had some hair shorts on, I think, and he said he went home and shaved that. So all taken care of now.
So he had, the extra work he had to put in to get rid of the hair shorts I think
it had nothing to do with the pain, which he admitted that the place I go is 10 times more painful than what Rachel did to him in here.
Right.
But yeah, I think it's the upkeep. Yeah. And
upkeep.
Yes.
So now it's a lot of maintenance needs to be put in to keep that look fresh.
Yeah, and like a dog that's just been clipped, you know, he had that kind of, they look shameful.
Right.
The first couple days.
Yeah,
did he look shameful?
Yes, he totally did. I saw him at the gym and he had pants on for the first time in years. I'm like, just own it.
That is
He's got nice legs. He's an athlete. Just wear them.
Chaining in some pants. There's nothing, Jake chains in pants. There's nothing wrong with that. We'll take a break. Laura Sanko is in studio. We'll talk about UFC 216 coming up after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Because I told you, Laura Sanko, UFC reporter in studio, that I was kind of lukewarm on UFC 216. And then I watched UFC tonight, last night, and watched the lengthy back and forth between El Cucuy, Tony Ferguson, and Kevin Lee, and I found it to be very entertaining, and I like it. Like, I think I have a pretty good BS detector when I can tell that when fighters are just trying to sell tickets versus when there's true animosity and dislike, and I was sensing some real animosity last night, and even like Daniel Cormier was trying to ask questions. You could tell he was kind of getting a kick out of it and laughing. Like, hey, for once, it's not me up there, and John Jones getting pissed off at each other. And so you give us some background on this main event that I think is going to be a hell of a fight between, and I'll keep saying this because at one point this was my nickname, and this is what my mother.
It still is your nickname.
Right. It is, but it originally came from, that's El Cucuy is
The boogeyman,
the
right?
Mexican boogeyman. And so when I was a little boy and I did not want to go to bed, I wanted to watch TV. And either my grandma or my mom would say, you better go to bed. And by the way, I was like five. El Cucuy will come and take you away. El Cucuy.
That's how my grandma kept us out of the basement.
Right.
Like we try to go down the basement. No, mijo.
El Cucuy's down there.
El Cucuy.
And I'm like, that's emotional distress.
I need to incorporate
fear
into my parenting more.
So then later on, it backfired on him. Hey, can you go downstairs, mijo, and get that box out of the base? Like, El Cucuy's down there. I'm not going down the right. So El Cucuy against Kevin Lee. You were there when the animosity started. What happened?
I was. I don't know that they were friendly before this happened, but it really kicked off after Kevin Lee fought Michael Chiesa, and I want to say it was Nashville. City doesn't matter, I guess. The ending was, I mean, Kevin went out there and really put a smashing on Michael. I love Michael, but none of the fight was going Michael's way. And Kevin took his back, like Kevin does. He's amazing at that. And sunk in a rear naked choke. The problem was that Mario Yamasaki stopped that fight early. Everybody agrees that Mario stopped the fight early. The contention was what would have happened had he not stopped it early. Most people say, listen, he was on the way out anyway. It's a foregone conclusion. Regardless, afterward, Kevin did his interview with Fox, and he did talk back with the studio. So I didn't participate in it, but I was standing right next to him. And Tony Ferguson happened to be working the Fox desk that day. So he's talking to the desk in L.A. from Nashville, and he can't see anybody. He can only hear them. And Tony, and nor can I, or anybody else standing around. But apparently Tony Ferguson, after I watched it later, just lit into him saying, yeah, great fight, but how did it feel to be smashed on the mat? And then Kevin just went off. Like, I don't know what fight you were watching. You guys need to get some real reporters on this desk. This guy has no idea what he's talking about. I was fighting a southpaw. He said, that I hit him with a, you know. He was just pointing out everything that Tony had said incorrectly during the broadcast. Tony didn't take too kindly to that, and off to the races we went with
Ferguson,
a nice beef.
also said when they asked him about a potential matchup, he's not ready.
That's the other. I mean, that's the true underlying thing. I think Tony Ferguson has been in line for a title shot forever. He's on a 9-fight win streak, which is unheard of in the UFC. You go on these long runs. That does not happen in MMA. He's got the longest winning streak in UFC history right now, in UFC history, period, possibly. No, that wouldn't make sense because Demetrius Johnson. Never mind, I didn't say that. Kevin.
He seems dismissive of Kevin Lee.
Very dismissive of Kevin.
He thinks that he shouldn't be in this fight with him.
And to Tony's point, Kevin has only been doing MMA for 4 years, period. That is what's crazy.
The Motown Phenom, Nate Buchady. I know you like the nicknames.
Motown Phenom.
Right.
And I like that. You want to talk about a guy who's got limitless potential, but he hasn't fought the level of fighter that Tony's fought. That's true. But, you never know when you're looking at the next Conor McGregor. And I think my stock on Kevin Lee is so high. I love that kid. I love them both. It's going to be a great fight.
We'll get more from Laura Sanko on UFC 216 after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We've got Laura Sanko from the UFC in studio. We've got more coming up if you'd like to listen to us on Sports Radio 810. But as always, thank you for watching on 38 The Spot. Also coming up, we will talk to Gary Barnett and Benny Failhaber and Will Carroll and Deion Clyso. All that and more coming up between now and 10 o'clock on Sports Radio 810 WHB.